Blog Talk Radio.
This new system and still haven't got all the kinks out. Among the birthdays today, great English historian, born on October 25th, Thomas Babington Macaulay. You probably hear his name sometime. If you like Viennese waltzes, Johann Strauss Jr., the younger, born on this day. George III became King of England. And, of course, we know what happened. He was blamed for the abuses of the colonists, which led to the American Revolution and America's successful independence. Also on this day, in 1869, John Heisman was born. Now, you keep hearing the term at the end of the football season, the Heisman Trophy. Well, it originates with John Heisman, who was a great football coach. He ranked with Alonzo Stagg, who coached football at the University of Chicago. Also on this day, Picasso, the great Pablo Picasso, the great Spanish painter, whose probably his best work was Guernica, which was the Nazi bombing of the city of the town of Guernica during the Spanish Civil War. And, of course, the Spanish Civil War led to the dictatorship of Francisco Franco. Also on this day, we had Henry Steele Commager, great American historian, born on this day. And, of course, Jack Kent Cooke, born in 1912. Now, Jack Kent Cooke is important and famous because he owned the Washington Redskins football team. We now have these politically correct mediocrities making the comment that the Washington Redskins football team should change their name. You know, they're not saying, they're not insulting Indians or anything. There is such a thing as a red skin. There's nothing wrong with that term. It's enough of this political intimidation by these mediocrities in the media. Another great sports coach, Bob Knight of Indiana, born on this day. Among the deaths, Geoffrey Chaucer, who wrote some very licentious literature during the Middle Ages. He died on this day. Also, the guy who was co-inventor of the loudspeaker, Peter Jensen. You've heard of the Jensen loudspeaker. Well, Peter Jensen was a co-inventor of the loudspeaker, which we have today. And, of course, these speakers are shrinking inside. You can even put, they're so small, you can use them at your computer or you have the earbuds. Among the other deaths, Forrest Tucker, who had a great gravelly voice, he died. Bill Graham, who started the Fillmore East and Fillmore West rock stadiums. Graham was actually born Jewish, and I think he escaped from Lithuania. He died young. I think he was about 60 years old. Among the events today, in 1415, the English, with their longbow at the Battle of Agincourt, defeated the French, who had their knights in armor on horses. And that was another transformation in the art and tactics of warfare. George III became King of England and was part of the German kings after they kicked out the Stuarts, who were Catholic. They had William and Mary came over from Holland, and then they didn't have any kids, and so they invited the Germans, and we've had Germans who have been the successful and successive English monarchs since that time. On this day also, we had the charge of the Light Brigade, which is important to our involvement in Afghanistan and the Northwest Frontier. I did have, maybe we can play this, Brigadier Francis Ingle, who served in the Bengal Lancers up on the Northwest Frontier. We did discuss part of the reason that the Russians were up there, and of course the Russians invaded Afghanistan and had been meddling up there for a couple of centuries because they want a warm water port, and this is one of the reasons why they're in Syria. But the importance of the Battle of Balaclava was that the Crimean War was about the Russian Tsar wanted access to the Mediterranean. The British wanted to keep the Russian bear out, and they were successful. So let's see if we have that interview. I don't see it here. But anyway, it was a stupid a military mistake, but it was a glorious, heroic charge that decimated the British Light Brigade. But Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote a famous poem, and of course that brigade caused the Russians to withdraw their cannon from the heights of Balaclava and to get out of the Crimea. And of course that issue is still going on today. What else happened on this day? We had the first postcard, and this is important, at the U.S. Post Office, which was started by Benjamin Franklin. The first postcards were started in 1870. Now we understand that the post office, which was kind of commercialized by Nixon, became a government quasi-corporation. There's a lot of real estate that's owned by the U.S. Post Office, and now Dianne Feinstein's trying to steer that to her husband, Richard Blum, his corporation, to dispose of this and make buku bucks. Certainly a conflict of interest. It ties into Senator Albert Fall, who was the senior senator from Arizona during the time of the Teapot Dome oil scandal. Now, Teapot Dome is an area in Wyoming where the U.S. Navy kept their oil reserves, which they could tap into in time of any war. And what happened was these oil reserves were sold for a bribe of $100,000 to Albert Fall, and the I think the guy's name was Denby, who was the Secretary of Navy in the Harding administration. And it was a big scandal. It involved an oil man out here in California, Union Oil, and also involved Harry Sinclair. And, of course, Senator Albert Fall, appropriate name, went to prison. And, of course, this was one of the Harding administration's scandals. Also on this day, 1930, there was the first transcontinental air flight. Don't know who was flying the plane. 1944, one of the biggest naval battles of World War II, which was a great American victory over the Japanese Navy, the Battle of Leyte Gulf in the Philippines. In 1945, Taiwan, which is now called, which was called Formosa at that time, Taiwan, which was occupied by the Japanese, and to the dismay and anger of the native Taiwanese, Taiwan was surrendered to Chiang Kai-shek and his nationalists. There's always been this battle with Red China and the nationalists on Taiwan. Red China considers Taiwan to be a traditional province of China. And, of course, the United States Sixth Fleet is there in the straits to keep the Red Chinese at bay, as it were, in more ways than one. And in 1962, I remember this, Adlai Stevenson, former governor of Illinois, a great politician and a real statesman, he ran twice for president in 1952 and 1956 and was defeated. So Kennedy appointed him ambassador to the United Nations. And then came, in 1962, the Russians were installing missiles in Cuba, and the Kennedy administration, no, get them out. And the Russians refused to admit that there were even missiles there. And Stevenson at the United Nations questioned the Russian ambassador's name was Zorin, and he wouldn't get an answer. So Stevenson said, I am prepared to sit here to wait until hell freezes over. Unfortunately, Adlai Stevenson was walking down the street with another UN diplomat, an American, Marietta Tree, and he suddenly dropped dead. A really fine gentleman. I met him when I was working at the Federal Building back in the 60s. Also in the state, talking about Chicago, in 1968, the black founder of Chicago, the first settler who happened to be black, part French, Jean-Baptiste Dusable, was honored and recognized for his contribution to the founding of Chicago. And, of course, there is a school in Chicago, high school, named Dusable. Among the things that are really important also on this day, talking about black history and issues, Alabama's Governor George Wallace, who was also vice president, he was also ran on vice presidential ticket with General Curtis LeMay. There was a notorious Scottsboro Boys case, which was a kangaroo court case involving a group of transient black youth who were traveling in a railroad car, a boxcar, with two white girls. And one of the girls accused the black boys of raping them. This was during the Depression, and in the South, a black did not rape or rape a white girl, even if there was a false accusation. These blacks were railroaded into the chain gang, or even hung or lynched. And it was this was a cause célèbre for also the NAACP, and they got a Jewish heritage lawyer from New York to defend them, and they were sent to prison. Finally, George Wallace, who was accused of being a racist, he did make some racist comments. He finally pardoned the last survivor of the Scottsboro Boys, and this was before George Wallace died. Now, George Wallace, in fairness to him, he was a poor white boy down in Alabama, and white boys were just one level ahead on the social scale above blacks, poor blacks and poor whites, because the society down there who had money and owned the cotton fields and all of the industry treated the whites almost as bad as they treated the blacks. And George Wallace served in World War II, and he wasn't a racist. But he ran for office, and what had happened was his opponent did, and I'm quoting George Wallace, he said he was out-niggered. That's George Wallace's comment. George Wallace then said when he ran for office again, he was not going to be out-niggered again. He later regretted that statement, and after he was shot when he ran for president in 1968, he got religion and realized that he had really been unfair and being racist, and he begged forgiveness from the black community in Alabama. And one of the things that he did do, to his credit, was pardon the last survivor of the Scottsboro Boys. Now, another issue that's come up in American politics, in Northern California, what is known as our Bay Area, we have a rapid transit system called BART, Bay Area Rapid Transportation. And also we have a controversial union, the SEIU, all a.k.a. known as Service Employees International Union, which was started in Chicago during the time Al Capone was trying to run the city. And it was started in part by one of the people involved was a guy named Murray Humphreys, who was of Welsh ethnicity, was non-Italian, not Jewish. He was the financial brains of the Chicago and Midwest Mafia. And this organization is very controversial. They are involved in vote fraud. They're accused of vote fraud and influence peddling and many other public corruption violations. Anyway, they did a strike against Bay Area Rapid Transit System, which brings in people from the counties around San Francisco, bring them into San Francisco and into Oakland, and it really damaged the economy. Anyway, people are so angry at the unions and their intransigence, or what is seen as their intransigence, that they want to do, even leftist Democratic politicians want to do what some cities such as Chicago have done, and that is ban strikes by public employees, such as the transit union. So we'll see what happens. Now, maybe they're taking a leaf from Calvin Coolidge, who, as governor of Massachusetts during the 20s, there was a Boston police strike, and he came out and said that public employees have no right to strike against the public. So this got him national coverage, and the Republicans put him on the Republican ticket with Harding at the top. And when Harding died in San Francisco, he died at the Sheraton Hotel, Coolidge became president. Coolidge also inherited, although he was not involved in the Teapot Dome scandal, that engrossed part of the Republican Party at that time. Senator Albert Fall was Republican, as were the oil men involved in that Teapot Dome scandal. So maybe these Democratic politicians are beginning to realize that the unions, some of these unions, are really out of control. It's time to rein them in and force them to compel them to do arbitration to resolve their workplace differences and salaries, benefits, and that sort of thing. So we'll see where that goes. Also, people, this was not brought up, but the history of unions in California in the 30s, unions were abused. The notorious longshoreman strike here in San Francisco, where a guy named Mooney was railroaded into a federal prison. He filed a habeas corpus that went through the Ninth Circuit, went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so now the unions over the years since the 30s have become so powerful that things have come full circle. Now we may be going back to a time when unions have to be reined in, but certainly not with brutal force. And, of course, today is the birthday of John Heisman, and he's the guy that whom the Heisman Trophy is named after, and this is the trophy given to the best young football players. Now, another thing that's come up, it's unfortunate, but one of the aftermaths of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the Obama's maladministration's repeal, a lot of military people are very upset about this, is that we're seeing on the web an unprecedented amount of flood of filth involving military personnel who are doing what are seen as homosexual video pornography, which is totally inappropriate. It's not only American military. We see Russians, or Czechs, some of the other military personnel, Brits, and it's disgusting. It really doesn't belong there, and none of this stuff belongs on the web to begin with. Now, one of the things I've told the Tea Party is based on my experience in government and in the various community organization sectors is that one of their problems is the Tea Party people should stop bitching about the budget in Washington and start looking at what's going on in their own local communities. After all, that's where it starts. As Tip O'Neill used to say, the former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives used to say, all politics is local. And, of course, you know, in your local community, in your constituency, your House district, your U.S. Senate, the people that are sent to Washington are the ones who vote on these budgets and the ones who spear these things to their friends and to their political supporters. This is one of the problems with the Tea Party. They need to look locally and look at what the left has done. The left is very good at organizing. Give the devil his due. And this is where what the Tea Party should say: we stand for accountability for the billions of dollars the public funds that are received by these community left-wing organizations and these bogus nonprofits. That's the one of the agendas that we believe that the Tea Party people should be pursuing and would make them relevant. Who's going to oppose accountability for billions of dollars in federal funds that are being wasted, ripped off, stolen, misappropriated? Also, we'll be updating our e-magazine videos at YouTube, Amicus Veritas, AMICUSVERITAS. So I hope to be back in fine fettle next week. I'm still recovering. I guess that's what happens when you live the life that I've lived. So we'll be ending with our usual politics and poker, and we'll be back Monday. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. And also, we won't be playing politics or poker. But we'll play it here now as our ending theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Five, five.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run Al Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Well, good night, folks. We'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. Take care.